get somebody like Beaner sitting down here. Look at how quiet she is, just sitting there, just paying attention. Go to a restaurant. Beaner, how old are you? You're that many? You're a handful already? And go to a restaurant, just look around at the five-year-olds. And most of them, I don't know if you go into the places I go to, most of them, as soon as they sit down, the whole service, and if they're not doing that, the whole service, the whole dinner service, if they're not doing that, they're screaming and yelling and whining and spilling their drink and everything else. And I just thank the Lord for the young people we have in our church. We're raising adults. And I have found those that are raised in church, although there's a wonderful crowd out there nowadays that loves to tear down, deconstruct everything that they got because mom and dad didn't do it the way they thought. And then they get a chance at it and look what they've done. And so I just thank the Lord for the church. Thank the Lord for the young people. 30 minutes time, they can put that together. Don't take that for granted. I've been to churches that have been around for 30, 40 years. And you go in there and it's scattered. Don't know what anybody's doing. Don't even know if you're going to have somebody at the piano or singing. I'm thankful for what Brother Jacob's done in pushing ropes and getting all the ropes, the threads of the rope heading in the right direction. And I appreciate it. Nice size choir. It's not a praise and worship team. We're not standing up here in cut jeans and rocking out to seven words and seven stanzas repeated seven times. We're just worshiping the Lord. I'm thankful for it. Amen. I don't know if anybody else is.
Yeah.
We can change directions and make it a parking lot. We can change directions and get woke, progressive, and see what that'll do. But we're gonna move the cart along like God said to move the cart along.
Right, right.
Amen? Amen. We're not gonna touch it. We're gonna make sure I'm not David, but we're gonna make sure David's following the instructions, and we're not putting it on a ox cart and towing it with oxen. You know, we're just gonna do it the right way. Amen. Let's read a couple verses of scripture. Now watch this. I want you to slow down and read with me, not audibly, but you can read mentally. Don't be anticipatory of 3 points and a poem and an invitation. We're now in the second point, Andrew. So this is like a cul-de-sac, okay? The cul-de-sac is Titus. But the first 7 weeks, I don't know how many we've been in this, we just looked at the first house in the cul-de-sac, and that was the purpose of mentoring. So now we're going to go to the next house in the cul-de-sac, of the whole cul-de-sac of mentoring. This is mentoring cul-de-sac. Okay? In this, huh?
I'll change the graphic.
Okay. In this cul-de-sac, all we do is mentor. That's the whole, when you turn, you make that, it's a dead end street, but it leads, those houses lead to other places where they mentor. So what I want you to do is read with me. This is an introduction, so we're going to get to the porch of the house, and I'm just going to touch on the next one. Does anybody, I think I gave the outline already, what the next aspect is of mentoring, the manuscript that Titus gave us. Did I give that to Alicia? No? Or you didn't keep good notes that day? All right. The people of mentoring. So we've looked at the purpose of mentoring. We went over all of that. What was it? We want to set things in order that are wanting. That was the whole point of it. If we don't, listen, I don't know if I'm doing a good job. The future will tell me. We're going to find out how, if they do, I don't know. They'll either be evangelist, pastor, teacher. There's 5 offices. 2 of them, they've stopped, apostle and prophet. The last 3 are what? Evangelist, pastor, teacher. Evangelist starts churches. Pastor shepherds churches. And then he ought to be apt to teach, but then they have teachers in there, and God can raise up elders from the teachers and so on and so forth. So we're to set in order the things that are wanting. You want to take a church that somebody's already done that, and then all you have to do is continue the things that have already been set in order. And then next you want to ordain elders. Why? Because the church needs leaders, it needs structures, and he said, ordain elders in every city. So this wasn't the only place you were supposed to do that, Timothy, this is what rubs some of these guys raw when I have these conversations with them. It's almost like, how can you go to another church if you haven't even followed what Titus said at the one you're at? I mean, honestly, I would think, now I'm either confused or God's confused. That why would God send me somewhere else to set something in order that I still haven't set in order where I'm at? Maybe I'm reading this thing wrong. But how many churches out there are looking for pastors that had a pastor? A pastor's number one responsibility, and you need to help me with this. You are helping these Timothy guys, we'll call them Timothy guys, as much as I am. You're helping them from the pew. I'm helping them from the pulpit. You are showing them what a church member looks like. Amen? You're showing them what a church member looks like. I tell you what. And let me say this while I'm here. I don't have to worry about going in. I feel bad sometimes that I've been chopped on so many times since I've been here. Two strokes, knee replacement, and now a hip replacement. And I feel bad. But here's the thing about it. I'd feel worse if I was going there and we had to hire somebody to come in to fill the pulpit. So we've done that. And let me say this. These men are solid preachers when they get up in here. It doesn't hurt once in a while. I want to make sure I got this right with the text message you sent me. It wouldn't hurt every once in a while to go up to Brother Baldwin and say, wow, that was a tremendous message. Thank you. It convicted me. I'm going to tell you what, I'm really going to give some deep thought into what you said, Brother Jacob. And I really appreciate how you handled the Word of God as a young man. And you've convicted me and you've convinced me to be better for God. Did I get it all? But it wouldn't hurt once in a while. You know what I'm saying? They're doing a good job. But here's the thing about it. We're setting things in order. I don't have to worry about going into the hospital and having a surgery and saying, is it taken care of? Is somebody in a pulpit? Did everything go all right? I mean, honestly, I care. Miss Allison, I kid you not, I am seriously concerned with that prayer request. Miss Miller, you're a nurse. A blood clot in the leg is a major problem. If that thing moves, we're having a funeral, Miss Allison, so please take care of yourself. Okay, please take care of yourself. Please. Well, you need more than a good doctor. You need some good sense, too, to just relax and not. Don't go ice skating. Don't go rollerblading, okay? All right. Don't climb tree stands. All right, I'm just making sure. And I said all that because why? Because while I'll be there, Brother Colossa, I know these men, and they're already, I've already reached out to the deacons before I mention it to y'all, reached out to the other men. They're happy to do this. They've been blessed. And let me say something else. We were giving them a love offering to do that, and then they turned it back in the last time. That's the quality of the men that you have filling this pulpit. I said all that to say this. It goes right in line with here. We've talked about the purpose. That's the purpose. We need to keep that going. If I don't come out, I'm not being facetious when I say this. If I don't come out of anesthesia, this church goes on. And you say, why would you say that? Because do you know how many churches do not have a plan? It's atrocious. For a church not to have a plan means somebody failed. Brother Andrew, you're in a unit. What's the name of your unit? 237th Support Battalion, which is part of the what brigade?
37th Infantry Brigade Combat Team.
Tell you what, you ain't wearing a baseball cap, are you? And there is a command sergeant major over the battalion?
Yes.
Come on, stop. John, did you say a hesitation? There is one, right? Okay. Is there a sergeant major at your company? Or first sergeant, I'm sorry. Is there a first sergeant at your company? If that first sergeant passed away tomorrow, they're immediately putting somebody in his place. They've already figured that out. Now I'm really scared, Brother John. He's the next senior, and you would... What do they call that now? They call that a temporary... What do they call that? You'd fill that position. Acting, you'd be acting first... You'd be acting top. They have a plan, is what I'm trying to get at. And we are the pillar and ground of truth. And I'm not trying to say this for us to be picky at other churches, but if we're the pillar and ground of truth, then why aren't there more churches that are following this manual? that are setting things in order, that are ordaining elders, that are holding fast the what? Word of truth. Not necessarily traditions, although they are very good, and the Bible talks about traditions and so on and so forth, but holding fast the word of truth as he has been taught. I don't want to use the word chastised, but I heavily said something the other day that they were having a conversation. Why is it that there are so many inept pastors nowadays filling pulpits? And my answer to that was, I waited to see what everybody else said, and my answer to that was, you got to back up to purpose number two. Here's a review. What's purpose number two of the manuscript for mentoring? I just said it.
The people.
Huh?
The people.
No, that's the first part. But what is, Lori, ordain elders. And so what's happening is our ordinations. I know, Miss Linda, is your son nervous? He needs to be. Do you know why? Because he is holding fast. How far back do you want to go? He's holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught. And what's happening, I said this to these guys, and I told them, I'm not the best. We're allowing too many inept pastors to pastor churches. They ask questions that they don't know. Why do you think these men got to baptize? Do you know what I got? A wave at the airport. A wave. I hadn't touched finances. I hadn't baptized. I asked to baptize my children when they got saved. I asked to baptize my children. What else, Mama? Fiducia. I had not learned anything. Had never conducted the Lord's Supper. Africa. Land. There was a time of no GPS, all this kind of stuff. And next thing you know, I'm having to set up bank accounts and fiduciaries. And there was a lot of, can I say this, trial by error. I'm thankful that because God understood that, he helped me. But I said what would stop a lot of this inept pastoring would be ordination councils, where Paul said to Timothy, the Bible comes alive when you study it. Paul told Timothy, he said, lay hands on no man what? Suddenly. Watch them. Don't do it with a novice. Why? Because lest being taken, overtaken by the devil, or what's that? How's that go? You know what I'm talking about? It's in 1 Timothy in the qualifications. Let's just look at it because we're just on the front porch. I'm trying to show you what the shiplap looks like. 1 Timothy 3. I'm using a new Bible. Not a novice. Verse 6. Lest being lifted up with pride. Why do I say to a Jacob Inman? I think Jacob Inman and Jacob Cook both handle the Word of God faithfully here. They're not preaching ideas. They're not preaching stories. They're not trailing off in the wilderness somewhere. It's not a constant topical message on something. They're taking the Word of God. But I'm careful when I say something to them or hand them a responsibility to not, you know, both of them are very good. Can I just say, is that okay for me to say that? Let another man praise thee. But if they're not careful, I've watched many a man that did very well in the early years, and next thing you know, he's pastoring a church early, he was doing this early, he was doing that early, and the blessings came, and guess what happened? He fell flat on his face. Not a novice. Lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. So what's happening with these men, I said? We're ordaining them and not ever asking them what the Bible believes or what the Bible says. And they're going out there and then they're scratching their head. And that's why so many churches are transitioning. And is the Bible really inspired? Can we use another translation? Did God really preserve it? Is worship really the way it should be? Is dress and conversation and clothing really the way God... Listen, we have left too much up to personal opinion instead of just getting in the Bible. I don't know. I tell these men this all the time. When I have something in my life that I encounter, I am immediately looking for a character in Scripture that comes close to my situation. It might not be 21st century, but Solomon already solved this problem. There is nothing There is nothing new under the sun. So why are so many pulpits full of inept preachers? Why are so many pulpits empty? Is because we don't have strict ordination councils. Because Joe was so nervous, I said, let's just do the interview. Let's let you cut your teeth in that interview. Let's let you watch. And again, it's not my approval. Are we biblical in here tonight? This mentoring thing is very important. Are we biblical in here tonight? It's not mine. If you look at Acts chapter 13, where they sent out Paul and Silas, who sent Paul and Silas out? The church. And what did the church do? They saw what Paul and Silas were doing, and they said, you know what? Because they already knew they needed to duplicate. Now, I'm going to say this, and this is nobody's fault collectively. But it can, the fault of it can rest on some people's shoulders individually. We're 100 years old next month. How many churches have we planted in 100 years? Every one of those missionary prayer letters we see on the wall, what is the expectation? To go to a foreign field and what? Plant a church. So what is Paul saying in Titus? See, the manuscript applies. No matter what the time zone, no matter what the longitude and latitudinal, whatever the word is, grid points are, the manuscript is still the same. You are to go. He says, for this cause I left thee in, fill in the blank, Mexico, Romania, throw some out here, Peru, throw them out here, prisons. Now, mind you, Peru and the prisons, they're working with somebody. But whatever the place, he's put them there for what? To set things in order. And what is the order? There needs to be a church planted. There needs to be a representation for God so that people can come to that and they can. Our world is spinning out of control, not just because they don't know God, but our world is spinning out of control because people don't have a place to come to find God, or that place is not sending people out to bring them to God and show them God's way is the right way. Why was I succumbed myself to Rodney's testimony? Why? Because when I had questions, he set me in order. Other people were inviting me to different things, and I said, and I'd go back to Rodney. Why? Because he presented himself as somebody that knew he had order in his life. He was a deacon in his church. He was somebody that was, when he opened up the Bible, he wouldn't just say this, that, and the other thing. It was a King James Bible. He'd open it up and he'd say, Michael, right here. And when he gave me answers to my questions, what was it doing? It was showing me he knew the way and I needed to follow him. He was inadvertently Philip to the Ethiopian eunuch. It's a process that takes place. So the answer to the man's question is, why are there so many inept pastors today? Because. Why? Because they're not ordained. They're not holding fast the faithful word. When we finally sit down, there will be men that Joe will pick that are men of character, commitment, conviction. We'll have those men come in. They are not ordaining him. They are questioning him. But I want men from this church to come and see that process. Why? Because if you don't hold fast that, then guess what? When Pastor Lovett, who all he does is just rip on everything, when he leaves, what will you be looking for? Are you looking for somebody else to hold fast the faithful word? Or, you know, I noticed that this, and this question come up too. What is the indication of a church's success? I was amazed at the answers that I heard to that question. And I said, here it is in a nutshell. It's not the seating capacity of a church that makes it successful. It is the sending capacity of a church that makes it successful. Our visitation program shows how successful our church is. How you folks that have been here, I am not by any means hitting on anybody when I say this. But will Joe be really the first one scripturally, biblically, that followed the process that is being sent out after 100 years? B.C. Jennings won a Tom Brennan Sr. to the Lord. He went off to Bible college. Our men have done it right here. Our men have done it by correspondence. Alicia's done it by correspondence. I would put these people up against anybody. And I'm not saying this to you guys. One goes off to college, never comes back. Where's the Bible colleges in the Bible? You say, but are you shooting all this stuff down? No, I'm just saying, we have a cart Or we have a way to do this. God said, put that mercy seat on the shoulders of the Levitical priests with the two staves, and they'll carry it on their shoulders. And that's the way we'll do it. I don't see that. It's local church training these men. Yes, they did it. Elisha did that. Mike did that. Jacob did that. Joe did that. And look, and I'd put these folks up against anybody else that goes to any college. They have done it grassroots. You see the whole process of this? And so what happened? In 100 years, what are we going to get now? Joe's already started. Is it May? May. It's the first Sunday of May, right? Right? It's not the first Sunday in April. It's the first Sunday in May, right, Miss Paula? Is that right? Miss Linda, is that right? Who else? Miller's first Sunday. Bill, first Sunday in May. So he'll be at least interviewed, and he'll be out, and he's doing it already. So we're doing that. 100 years. Is that something? Wow, I can't. Man, Pastor Lovett. Man, wow. No, not Pastor Lovett. Thank God for a Bible. Thank God for a Bible. Because you know what? Pastor Lovett took 4 extra years to get out of high school. Graduated second from the bottom. Got saved, and the greatest teacher now indwelt inside of him, and he handed Michael the greatest book. And all he had to do is read it. And whatsoever I said unto you, I'll bring back to your remembrance, he said to the disciples. So we're here. So let's read some of it, see how far we get. It's just the front porch. Second, Miss Paula, are you warm tonight? I'm not, if it matters. All right? I'm not. If it matters, just pray for me, all right? Chapter 2, Titus. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. That the aged men, now we're at point 2. Watch this now, follow this. Now we're going to start seeing the people. We've seen the purpose for mentoring. It is what? It is to set things in order that are wanting. It is to ordain elders. And it is to hold fast the faithful word which you have been taught. Now, who's the ones that are going to do that? He says, but speak thou the things. He's talking to Titus. He said, speak thou the things. You're the one that needs to start some of this. Even if it goes up to the older, it still will come down to the younger. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober. You aged men in here. Who's aged? Raise your hand. Josh, you're aged. Be sober. All right? Some of that singing ain't sober. All right, who's some aged? Brother Miller's aged. Brother Bill's aged. John Stevens, Lord knows he's aged. Roger Klein, Joe Colossa. Graybeard over here. Did I say Brother Klein? You're aged. You're our example. Huh? Oh, buddy, I'm sorry. You're what? 25, celebrating your third anniversary. 75. That's aged. We want to see something. What's that? Here's what I'm supposed to do for you. That the aged men be sober. Be sober. I saw some of y'all tighten up last week. I said, some of you young ladies in here with children need to sober up. What's wrong with Pastor? I'm setting things in order. There's too many homes that are out of order. There's too many homes falling apart. You know why? Mom's not sober. You know, it's serious. You're raising adults. You're not raising feral hogs. You're raising adults. You're raising the next generation. You're raising examples. But be thou an example, didn't he say? As a young man to Paul, to Timothy. He said, so I'm supposed to say to you older men. That's difficult. If Jake Cook or Jake Inman takes a church there, Mike, you're what, 55 now? 45, I'm sorry. You're 45. Jake Inman's 28. Jacob Cook's 33. Those are young men. And those young men, guess what they have to do when they go to a church? We're on the front porch. We're looking at the people. They have to go in and sit in an office like I had to on Mondays and Tuesdays and everything, and the aged men come in my office and tell me what I needed to do while they were missing it completely biblically. That is not easy. And you know what it does? When they're barely getting paid and they've got kids at home and everybody's looking at them with a fine-tooth comb, I've told all these Timothy guys, have I not? They are going to examine your family like a fine-tooth comb. You know why? Because you will be setting things in order that are taking a cat by the tail and rubbing their fur backwards. And they're not going to like it because they realize. And that's why it's important to stay in the Bible, because then you go to them afterwards and they say, well, did I say something that wasn't scriptural? What was it that I said that you were bothered with? Because I wasn't the one that said it. And you have to do that in such a way. But how much better would it be? This is why I want to do what I want to do. When God moves me, then I want to find a young man that needs a shoulder and an ear. And I'm not going to sit there and pick him apart. I'm going to sit there and strengthen him. I'm going to sit there and say, you need to do this. You need to be careful. Who was the one in the Old Testament that was going to be king? And he went and asked the old man what to do. And then he asked the young men, and the young men said, who? Rehoboam. He didn't take the old man's advice. And what happens a lot of times, most of the time, they won't bow up and drop the hammer. They'll cave in because they're waving a paycheck in front of their face. I'll never forget coming here and people handing me a paycheck on a Sunday before I went to the pulpit. That absolute, and then Monday coming in my office and telling me what I needed to do. Some of y'all never knew the battle I was in. And I there's some days I just want to take that, but not a brawler. God took quail till it come out their nose. I wanted to take my paycheck and shred it up till it come out their nose. Because it was a way of intimidating. The aged men, you know what they're supposed to do? They're supposed to come over and hold the arms up. Moses was younger than Aaron. Moses was younger than, am I right on my timeline? Aaron was his older brother. Ur was older than Moses. You know what they were doing? They were holding his arms up because they knew how difficult it was to lead 2.5 million people. So he said to him, you, Titus, are supposed to speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity. How many deacons' meetings, how many leadership meetings, I'd sit in there and I'd say, I hear you guys discussing this stuff. I said, could you just show me chapter and verse in the Bible? And they'd look at me. Well, that's the way we've always done it. Well, maybe we've always done it the wrong way. That's the way so-and-so used to do it. Well, it was so-and-so success. What's God say to do it? Sound in faith. You know what happened, Miss Terry? I don't think you get upset when I say this to you about Akron Baptist. You were saved at Akron Baptist Temple. You know what happened? The aged men didn't keep the next man in line sound in faith. They weren't questioning him on what he believed. When a man comes to fill this pulpit, I question him. I know him. I watch him. I follow him. Because I don't want him getting up here saying something that is contrary to what Scripture teaches. Because it's going to take, well, my pastor said this. This guy came in and said this. You follow what I'm saying? And I don't, I said to somebody the other day, a preacher the other day, I said, I don't know why everybody always wants to get the big names. I'm going to tell you what, I'm thankful that our church has a lot of small fish swimming in a big pond. Can I just say it like that? They're men that can get up and handle the Word of God. No, they don't have the name that comes behind it. But sometimes that name will be a shame if you're not careful with it. And so they're supposed to be sound in faith. If men would have been sound in faith, and there might have been people doing that, and I don't know how many people came here at one time. Remember them? We came from ABT. I'm not from here. I knew Dallas Billington, but I didn't know the name of the church. What's ABT? And they'd say, no, it's Akron Bridge and Temple. I never heard of that. And they'd come here. And what was taking place? They were changing. But you know who was leaving? The aged men. I'm not talking about having a church fight. I'm just talking about those aged men stand firm and they say, Pastor, this is what the Bible says. Why are we going in a different direction? That stops that. And sometimes, can I just say this? Sometimes it's because he just doesn't know. I have learned a lot in my years. I've made a lot of mistakes. He should be sound in faith, in charity, in patience. Then here's the next person. See how these just unfold for us? The aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Now watch this about this person of mentoring. It's amazing to me sometimes how much more, can I say this, responsibility that God in His Word puts on a woman than He does a man sometimes. The aged women likewise, so everything above, she needs to be. That they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach, here's our third person, the young women to be sober. Now we see why Pastor said that last week. Some of the young ladies need to sober up. You're raising children. You're training the next generation. You're training someone's husband. You're training someone's wife. Mama, don't you wish we had parents that would have taught us that? And then it would have saved a lot of... I still think you would have been ornery and fought with me. But don't you think it would have saved a lot of arguments between the two of us? If we would have just had somebody to do that, that they may teach the young women to be sober. Watch this. To love their husbands. To love their children. Sir, you are an example of your son's love for his future wife. My stars, I wish I could do that differently. Ma'am, you are an example of your daughter's future love for her wife, for her husband. All of this stuff. And can I say this? And everybody in here can say a hearty amen to this. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Amen. I don't care how hard you try. There is going to be characteristics that you have. Sometimes I wonder, it's scary sometimes how much from the tree gets dropped into the other apple. Here's another one. To be discreet. Chaste. Here's a phrase we don't like to hear much anymore. Keepers at home. Why have homes dissolved? Because mom's not there to keep the balance. She is so important at the home. She is so important in the home. She is so important in the home. Good. And then they say this. Love their husbands. Then they say this. Obedient to their own husbands. Yes, he needs your input. Yes, he needs your advice. Yes, but he doesn't need a Miriam saying to him, thou bloody husband. He doesn't see that. Listen, Moses had enough problems already. The task that he had before him was insurmountable. I can't even imagine it. And before he goes to do it, she chastises him. She chastises him, circumcises her own son, throws the circumcision. I'm trying to be fair in mixed company. You can help your children when you get home. Throws the circumcision at him and calls him a bloody husband. Yeah, that was a nice... Yeah, thank you, sweetie. Can I get a kiss in my lunch before I go? Help 2.5 million people come out of Egypt's bondage? Moses needed to do what he was supposed to do. He needed to circumcise his son before he went. But could you have said it a different way, Miriam? Well, Pastor, that's easy for you to say now that you have the book to read. And what if you were there? I don't know. I just would have known. Mom, please. Mom, how many times have I said to you, oh my goodness, I got enough on my plate. I don't need you saying that to me. I need your support. I need your help. I need your guidance. I need your comfort. I don't need your chastisement. And when you do that, that's why I say you older ladies, when you see these characteristics in these younger ladies, and you younger ladies have them. And you younger ladies have them. Thank you, Mama. The older aged women can come up and say, listen, that ain't going to work. And I'll say this, and I think they're a very important part of the church. Anybody that's been divorced. They have so much to add to the plate of it. You say, well, God didn't want it that way. Okay, but it doesn't mean that you're unusable. It means you can come in and say, listen, I made a lot of mistakes. I've met a lot of men that have said I made a lot of mistakes. If I could have gotten a chance to do it over, or somebody would have told me or helped me along the way, I might not be divorced today. I'm getting somewhere. Obedient to their own husbands. And then he says this. Doesn't say this about the men, Brother Mike. That the word of God be not blasphemed. You mean to tell me when the world sees how we conduct our deportment in and of our homes, it can either draw them to God or it can push them away? My relationship, and I'm glad my kids don't laugh out loud, but I have confessed it through the years. No, I wasn't a terrible dad. No, I wasn't a horrible husband. Did I make mistakes? Sure I did. Could I have done better? Sure I could have done. But watch this. My children need to see my love for my spouse is a picture of God's love for me. That's a big responsibility. And when they see that, they may very well, when I said to Rodney, ha, if he's my heavenly father, he sure has a bad sense of humor. Because what was I basing him on? Father. Didn't have one. Second one, mess. So I had nothing to base it on. Nobody to watch. Yeah, God would put a Roy Johnson in my place. And every time I was over there and I had meals at his table, he'd hold her hand. They'd pray over that food. You know what I got to see? I got to see something I never saw in anybody else's family. And you know who I got to see it from? The aged man. The aged woman. And I would hear her say to the other, how many from the old days you say, nah, sweetie, that ain't going to work. How many have had the elderly ladies around you and say, sweetie, now I'm telling you, that ain't going to work. That ain't going to help you. You got to do it a little different. Why? That the word of God be not blasphemed. The world is looking at the church, and all you got to do is get on social media, and they've got their sites. I was just looking at something the other day, this Hope House, or whatever it's called. Not the one from Brother Taylor, but it was Hope House or somewhere, that the children had gotten the police because of what was taking place in there. And they had all kinds of runaway children that had come through there. Police, arrest them, close the place down, everything. They were an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist church. And all of those ones are shipwrecked now. And they've made social media posts and they've made Facebook groups and everything else. You know what that is? That's a modern-day description of the Word of God being blasphemed. Because now those young ladies are so triggered that if they get in a church and they hear a man like me stand up and say, some of you young ladies need to sober up, you know what it does? It immediately rocks their very fiber of their soul, because that sounds and is in comparison to what they heard, but it's so far from it. Why is our world in the condition it's in today? Why are our homes hurting like they are? I'm going to stop here tonight because there is so much I could have gotten. I mean, we've only read it to 4, 5, 6 verses. Watch this. That aged man and that aged woman play such a part. Because you can knock on a door in visitations this Saturday. And you can knock on the door of somebody that maybe went to church. I was over at Pro Armament one day. Brother Joe and I know him. I was over there and we were talking. Cody and I, we were over there. We were talking. He's a military veteran, Purple Heart recipient. And just talking, got to know him. And he said, he likes Cody and I. And we were just talking. I think sometimes the best compliment people can give me sometimes, I had no idea you were a pastor. You know why? Because I don't walk around with a name tag on my face. I'm just a person. I was a person before I became a pastor. I was a disciple of Christ before that, and I got to talking to him. And I'm not just going to jump right in to come to church. He said, what? I think we were talking about Africa or something. He said, what brings you to this area? And I said, oh, I'm pastor of church. He said, oh, really? I said, where? I said, Grandmother Baptist Church. And the countenance changed. He said, really? I mean, he's got it all over him. Military vet. You know what comes with that, buddy. John, you know what comes with that. He said, really? And then you could see the wheels turning. And he said, you know what? He said, I used to go there as a little boy to the Awana program. What happened? Yes, we have a free will. Yes, we have a volition. But is it possible that somewhere in the scope of things, and maybe I'm leaning too much on the negative and not enough on the positive? I can't lean on the positive because I wasn't talking to somebody who was a deacon in a church. I was talking to a young man that had a filthy mouth, and the world was all over him, but he was as nice of a guy as you ever want to meet. I have met more nicer people outside of church some days than I have within the walls of the church. And I said, you know, hey, come on up there sometimes. You'd really like it. And ever since then, Cody's went in there, hey, where's your dad? Tell him I said hi. Listen, all I can be is a light. But where does it start? It starts with the aged men. It starts with the aged women. And we just become an example. Instead of, how many times have you heard this where you go to somebody and say, yeah, I used to go to church. Oh, what happened? Well, so-and-so did such and such. I know a lot of those stories are fluff, but can I say most of the stories are valid? And you know what's taking place? The Word of God has become blasphemed. Because we have, can I just say this? This is a commissioning service for each and every one of us in here tonight. As a person of mentoring. Tomorrow morning you will disperse into the highways and the hedges. And your life and your conversation and your clothing and your character and everything about you will either draw people to God or they'll push them away. I did a transaction of, what do you want to call it? I bought something. And Mama was, do this, do this. I'd offer them, And I'd say, Mom, I just can't. Why? Because I did a study in Proverbs. You know, the guy that comes up and he kicks the tires. And he said, Did you see that? Man, did you see this? Did you miss this? And the whole time he just picks it. What's that verse of scripture? And then all of a sudden he buys it and he goes home and he says, look at the deal I got. Huh? Proverbs. What's my point? Aged man, I have to, in my deportment, be the word of God in action. And everybody does that. Lori, you do it when you leave here. Alicia, you do it when you leave here. You, why does Beaner sit with you guys? Because you're an example to her. Miley, why do these girls hang, except for Micah? I get it. Poor guy just doesn't want to come up and be around you. You've been too mean to him. No, I'm just joking. He wants to be around the men. Amen? He wants to be around the men. Why are they sitting there with you? Because you're an example to them. And the more better you can be an example, then guess what? The Word of God is not blasphemed. The Word of God is blessed. And people look and they say, I wonder what's going on. Is there something to that? And the next thing you know, God, through the Holy Spirit, connects you with the Ethiopian eunuch. And then you can do your part. And the next thing you know, the Ethiopian eunuch leaves. And Philip goes and you say, well, where's the biblical process there? Some plant, some water, and God gives the increase. How's that happen? Before services, after services, here, when you leave out in the morning, wherever you go, the grocery store, wherever you go, that's your responsibility. I want to have the guy I talked to today. Some people, I've been around some people that would chastise them for saying that. Listen, I'm not for it. But can I just say this? We need to get our hands dirty. Jesus got his hands dirty with Judas, didn't he? He was washing the feet of them that would kill him. He's not cussing me. He's cussing God. And I need to be a mediator. Listen, if that woman can be taken in adultery and cast at the feet of Jesus, and they say to Jesus, what does the law say? But Jesus wasn't condemning her. Jesus was doing everything he could to bring. I'm not saying be a compromiser. I'm just saying we've got to be smarter. We've got to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And here's the commissioning service. Tomorrow, is there anybody in here today that did not see somebody else besides a family member in your own home? Noah, did you get out of your home today? Here's the example. Did you go to the grocery store? You didn't go anywhere today. Where'd you go? Did you see anybody at the orthodontist? You did. You're an example. Tomorrow when you leave out, you put on your little whole armor of God and you go out as a soldier of Christ and you mentor. Sometimes it's silently and sometimes it's vocal. But you are an ambassador in Ephesians, it says, in the same chapter that he gives the fruit of the Spirit. You're an ambassador. You're representing God. Why? So that the word of God be not blasphemed. When I'm driving down the road and I cut somebody off, I'm representing the word of God. I am the person of mentoring. I thought mentoring is like one-on-one. Yeah, there's a part of that, and we'll show you that. But I want us to understand tonight, the one thing I want us to understand, we are mentors. Brother Mark, I'm watching you. You give me examples. I am a pastor that always asks for perspectives, do I not? You know why? Because you're going to give me an example. Miss Linda, I was trying to give her examples this week. She didn't want to listen to any of them. She gave examples back to me. We came to a happy medium between the two of us, and we moved on. The aged woman was not helping the aged man. Anyways, I'm just joking. That's what we do. And you know what it does? It strengthens people, and it helps people. Here's my illustration. I'm done. This is concerning these feral hogs that are running loose in our church. I was listening. Church was full back there. Everybody's fellowshipping. And the feral hogs were running across the platform, running behind the piano. And I came in, and I said something. Well, that's the pastor. No, we're all mentors. I guarantee if one of them ripped loose in your house, you would do it very kindly and very generously. It's all of our responsibility here. to mentor. Because it takes a what? It takes a community. Amen? I'm helping Mike and Emily raise those three feral hogs over there. Arnell, you are a feral hog. Do you know that? And we're teaching them handshakes and everything else. Today I went into the prayer room. Shaylon. I'm going to get it. It's not Stephen. Shaylon was in my seat. Arnell was in Jacob's seat. Why? They were watching. Mentoring is spoken and mentoring is visual. Be the speaker, be the visual. Be on time. Be available. Show up. You'd be surprised how much your life can make a difference. Bow tie. Have you ever seen anybody in here with bow ties? Bow ties. It's an example. Father, we'd ask you to help us, I plead. Help us, Lord. Yes, we only got through six verses. But help us to understand we are the people of mentoring. We've been given the purpose. We're to set things in order. We're to ordain elders. And we're to hold fast the word of truth as we have been taught. And so help us to understand that purpose. And help us to understand that we are the person, the people, that is to be the example. So why, Lord? So that the word of God is not blasphemed. There are so many people today, worldly wrestlers, that will take a verse of scripture, monetize it, bastardize it, and make millions off of it, while the church of the living God is silent and won't even knock on a door. God help us. God help us to be better mentors, disciplers. Our churches are falling apart because we don't pass on, hold fast the faithful word as we have been taught, because nobody's teaching us. Our church, from anybody that stands in this pulpit, is a church that teaches the word of God. Help us to always be that. Help us to understand the importance of our life as we carry on our day-to-day deportment. Help us, I plead, in Jesus' name. Amen. That's all.